How's everybody doing tonight? I want to thank you all for showing up for no apparent reason. Free pizza. Right, we'll get to that. I want to thank our sponsors for the Give a Shift happy hour tonight. And number one is Lucky Wheels Garage. They donated this space tonight for us to be here. I'm gonna bring Ty up here, but Ty and Jackson donated this space. It's a co-wrenching space. I worked here a few days ago. $35 gets you a lift and access to tools all day long. Not $35 an hour. That's all day long. It's pretty awesome. So it's a great deal. These guys are building an awesome community out of this as well. So it's something to pay attention to. Crystal Hess with Motorcycle Missions right here supplied the 805 beer. You're going to hear more from her soon. I want to thank also Kat Connor of Kat Images, produced the great artwork and the logo and all that stuff. She's not here, so you don't have to applaud, but we'll pretend. Okay. Thank you. It's all Blake Connor's friends. That's nice. Mark Alteri from the Brand Amp surprised us with a load of Pabst Blue Ribbon. How about that action? And if you're looking to borrow an Indian or Slingshot, Mark's your guy, not me. It's not me. I'm done. Mark's your guy. Okay? And the pizza and spiritual support provided by Andrew Capone and NCC Media. How about for the pizza? Andrew, right here. It would have been a lot later if I'd paid for it, because that never would have happened. But anyway, NCC Motorsports offers hyper-targeted marketing across multiple cable outlets. Already did. Well, that's what you told me to say. All right, see? Now he's embarrassed. All right, quick survey time. How many of you read the entire report? That's okay if you didn't. Cool. How many of you shared or forwarded that report onto other people within your company? See, I have no visibility of that, right? So that's cool. Let's see. How many of you think this industry is doomed if things stay the way they are? Two. Oh, that's good. A couple of speakers there. All right. I know you're here because you guys care, and I want to say thanks to all of you guys for being here. I know it's a challenge for some folks to get down into the middle of L.A., and thanks for braving the traffic and for being here and just being part of this Give a Shift open house or happy hour. I want to intro a few speakers. We've got a few speakers, and then I'm going to do a little presentation. And basically what I'm going to be telling you is where Give a Shift is going next, okay? First off, I want to introduce Ty over here. Ty, come on up. He's going to talk a little bit about what Lucky Wheels is all about.
Cool. Hey, guys. I'll keep it kind of brief. Thanks for coming. We're super stoked to be hosting this. If you don't know what Lucky Wheels is, it is basically a do-it-yourself community motorcycle garage. I pitch it like a gym membership for motorcycle nerds, $100 a month. You can come and go as you please, use the shop. We've got everything from the tools you would need to do an oil change or build a full custom bike from scratch, and we can help you along the way. In addition to providing tools for people, a big focus of ours is just the community aspect, putting on events like this, anything from our own events, which range from goofy stuff like chicken shit bingo, has nothing to do with anything, to, we host, for example, this weekend, the Women's Motorcycle Show with Alicia Elving from Moto Lady. We've got about 65 members full-time here, and it fluctuates between about 50 and 80 at any given moment. 2 years old, just opened up the coffee shop. Thanks for coming. Thanks.
Ty's awesome. He asked permission to hang out up here for this. I'm like, it's your house, man. It's cool. I also want to bring up a friend of mine from the AMA who's going to tell us a little bit about a new initiative, and that's Jim Williams. Jim, come on up, my friend.
Hey, thanks, Robert. I appreciate it. In addition to sharing a little bit of great news about an initiative we have going called Plus One, I thought I might give a little perspective as well on the industry and what's happening, what AMA is up to, and so forth. First of all, thanks, Robert, for hosting this, or Lucky Wheels hosting it, and Robert putting it together. I think it's important that we get together and talk like this. especially when the industry is going through some changes. And along those lines, I just want to give a little perspective. So is the sky really falling on the industry? You can have your own opinions, but let's take a minute and look at the evidence, see just how bad it might be, or maybe see how good it might be. So first of all, comparing today's retail sales with the bubble years of 2000 to 2008 is a fool's game. That's unit sales hit almost 1 million units in 2008. So that wasn't real. That was fueled by fake money from home equity loans. Sign here. We don't care if you qualify. We'll give you $80,000 on your house. Go buy a ski boat. That's what fueled that whole phenomenon. And it's not the first time. It happened in the mid-80s. Those of you who've been around a long time like I have, you remember the mid-80s, and a similar downturn happened after that. So in reality, we're looking at 450 to 500,000 units a year, new retail, right now. By long-term historical standards, that ain't bad. That compares very favorable with the long-term trend. So take heart. The sky definitely is not falling. The used market. The used market is running 3-to-1 right now. For every new retail unit that's sold, 3 used bikes change hands. So if you do the math, that's about 1.3 to 1.4 million units changing hands every year in the motorcycle market. That's good news. So people are buying bikes. The crop of entry-level bikes that we've seen from the OEs is the best that it's been in decades. It really is. And the pricing is actually pretty damn good. So for comparison, a 1977 CB550 from Honda, in adjusted dollars, would cost you $7,041 today if you had to buy it. You can go down right now to a Honda dealership and buy a CB500F for $6,099. $1,000 less than the CB550. Not a new one that was built in 77, but the off-road segment. Post-recession, that's been one of the strongest segments in the last 10 years, showing steady gains year to year, 3% here, 2% there, 4% here. Very steady. That bodes well for the long term. Little kids on play bikes, great for all of us. E-bicycles, they're kicking ass right now. And let's not forget the original motorcycles 100 years ago were nothing more than bicycles with motors bolted onto them. So at some point, the riders of those e-bikes are going to want more, and that's good for us as well. So is the current situation really that different than we've seen in the past? Not really. What it really comes down to is plain old boring demographics. And you may have read this. It just came out in the news today. But after 2 decades of having more people retire, primarily boomers, after 2 decades of having more people retiring from the workforce than are entering it, that's about to flip. Very soon, there will be more people, millennials, entering the workforce than there are people retiring. That's awesome. And the really cool part of it is, it's expected to continue for 2 decades. So 20 years going forward, we're going to have a net influx of workers in the marketplace. That means lots of toys are going to get sold. So that's good for us, too. Another thing I read recently was, believe it or not, this notion that millennials have no money to spend. It's not really true. Aside from $1,000 cell phones that they're buying, like nobody's business, they're fueling a little mini boom in the RV industry right now. So in the RV business, sales of small, stealthy campers like little vans and small towables are just going gangbusters. And it's largely fueled by a combination of boomers and millennials. So that's good news. If millennials are interested in buying little campers, getting out there,
That's the same mindset that wants to buy motorcycles.
That's right. Can't afford rent in L.A., that's why they're getting out. So maybe they'll have more money to buy a dirt bike. So anyway, I would encourage this group, to focus inward. I can assure you the industry is doing everything it possibly can. I'm vice president of industry relations with the AMA. I work with a lot of fine people in this business, several of whom are here tonight. And I can assure you they are working their ass off to sell motorcycles. They truly are. The rate of burnout and stress levels is rampant in the industry right now because they're all under pressure to move the iron. So cut them a break and know that AMA is working hard as well. So a couple things for AMA. 2 years ago, we implemented a new classification of memberships, of family and youth memberships. It hurt us from a revenue standpoint because where we required individual memberships for people in a family before, now we're lumping them together and being eligible under a family membership. But we knew it was the right thing to do because what we want to do is we want to create that spirit within the family that motorcycling is a way of life so they stick with it for long term as opposed to just buying a membership so they can race. And then they drop it as soon as they stop racing. So that's helping turn things around and change their mindset. Last summer, we also launched an initiative to encourage all of our clubs nationwide, about 10,000 clubs nationwide that are AMA chartered, to begin recruiting aggressively non-riders into their ranks and introduce people to motorcycling. So that's bearing some fruit as well. Advocacy-wise, as you know, we're fighting hard for access to HOV lanes, which helps here in L.A., lane splitting, parking, autonomous vehicles. AMA was really the organization that brought that whole thing to light. And our CEO, Rob Dingman, and our own Senator Allard recently sat down with Secretary of Transportation Elaine Chao to talk about how motorcycles fit into this autonomous vehicles business. And she was unaware of it. So that meeting actually allowed her to see that there was a void that needed to be filled. So what can you guys do here? Well, how many are members of the AMA? Raise your hand. Hey, that's pretty good. All right. Thank you for your membership. It does matter. For those of you that are not members, please consider joining. It's the only organization that covers all of motorcycling from soup to nuts, off-road, on-road, and everything in between. So please consider. So where does that leave us? What can we, me, you, and you, what can we do as individuals to create a better rider community? I think in large part, I put myself in the same category. We've largely failed at bringing in a lot of new riders as friends and relatives and so forth that could have been brought in to motorcycling. So I will endeavor to do better on that. And I'm sure after these sessions and Robert's efforts, you will too. But we have some headwinds here, and I had to laugh. I read a comment in a blog the other day. Someone was talking about Give a Shift and said, hey, this is great. You know, we need to make motorcycling more mainstream, bring people in. And this guy wrote in and said, why would I want to do that? Why would I want to bring more people into motorcycling? Then it's not special anymore. If everyone does it, then it's not cool. So we've got that mentality working for us within our own ranks. So for Lucky Wheels part, what you're doing here is freaking awesome. It really is. Chicken shit bingo. I mean, that's sheer genius. I don't know who came up with that, but I mean, that's awesome. That brings people in. They probably never thought about getting into motorcycling, but it sounds like a rocking good time. And yeah, guess what? They get introduced to wrenching and bikes and lots of fun. So last thing I have, because Robert's going to give me the hook here, is our Plus One initiative. Many of you know Scott Hardin. He's a really great guy, Hall of Famer with the AMA. Last summer, he came up with this idea of encouraging everyone to grab them by the neck and introducing them to motorcycling, whether it's camping or on-road riding or whatever. You'll be pleased to know that's moving forward with AMA's support. A column appeared in our magazine last month. You may have read it. And lo and behold, the domain names and various other assets for social media were available for Plus One. I won't tell you exactly what they are right now because we want to make sure it's ready. When people jump into it, we want a place for them to land. Okay. So that's moving along. You'll hear more about that very shortly. Scott has teamed up with a PR guy in Colorado to help it along. It's all volunteer. No one's getting paid for it. And it's going to generate some buzz for sure. So much more to come. Thank you for your time. Glad to be here. Thanks, Robert, for a little mic time.
So whether you agree or not with the AMA, I do encourage you to be a member. I've been a member for a long time. They are our best voice across the nation, and we need to bolster that. We need to help shepherd that. We need to be a voice within that, okay? That said, there are some things that we may not agree with, but I think the one thing we do is that we want to elevate motorcycling, and that's the reason that we're all here. I also want to say that I did send out an invitation to other national industry councils. That was pretty good, right? And they declined to be here, and then and a few other folks. But I want to thank the AMA for stepping up to the mic because, I think ultimately our goal is to elevate motorcycling. So thank you, Jim. I didn't before call out our friend Tom Monroe from the D store down in Orange County. Tom, thank you. No, you're over there. I know. His identical brother Tim is here, so they tend to swap clothing every now and then. But Tom brought along some apparel that I'm going to give to Jordan Diggs and Ghost, his cousin, and Crystal Hess as well. So thank you for that. So I would like to introduce a guy who I met through LinkedIn. As I posted this thing up, it was mostly through Facebook and through LinkedIn, and Jordan got in touch with me through LinkedIn. Which is unusual because everyone thinks that it's supposed to be, pictures of you on vacation from work. I don't know, it's like fucking work Facebook or something. I don't know what the hell it is. But anyway, we're trying to actually have a conversation about the motorcycle industry on LinkedIn, and Jordan jumped in. I met with him a few days ago, and I'm like, man, you gotta chat for 4 minutes and 59 seconds. With these folks and tell them a little bit about your approach to motorcycling and sort of your unique perspective on that. Okay, and he's speaking for both of you guys. So, Jordan, come on up.
Round of applause.
So I was told to eat the mic. I'm a little tall for that, so I'm just going to go ahead and take a step here. And at first, before I know, I have a little bit of time, but I have to admit, I do not have an AMA membership. I'm going to go ahead and knock that out for you when we get out of here.
Woman in action.
Not all heroes wear capes. my name's Jordan. I represent me and my cousin. We are Diggs and Ghost. So we actually are a social channel, and we make comic, dramatized sketch videos, mostly via Facebook, YouTube, Instagram. We kind of stumbled into that by accident, just by making videos. And the first one we put out was motorcycle related and got over 100,000 views in a week. I thought that was really neat. We moved to LA. We're from the East Coast. We came here because we decided in college we were going to come somewhere that we can live, we can ride year round. And it was Florida or SoCal. Went to Florida for a week and it rained every 3 minutes. To hell with that. We're going to LA. So we got here and we started making the videos, and we realized that we've addressed an audience of people that were yearning and looking for just a personality in the industry. We realized in our demographic and our age group right now, there's not a lot of people that have someone they can identify with. The you know, racing as a whole is something that we love. I'm the biggest Rossi fan in the world, but we were at the IMS this year, and we realized Rossi's bike was out, and no one even recognized it at first until I was on the floor, like, licking the tire. things like that really identified the fact that, you know, our heroes in motorcycling aren't the general population's even public figure. So we started the channel 7 months ago, and we, as of today, we hit 17,000 followers, which was, you know, really dope for us. We have over 6 million views in the last 7 months, and we realized that we have the attention and the trust of people who not only are in our demographic, our age group, you know, they identify with our ethnicity, but also they don't ride yet, and they've gained the trust through comedy. We regularly have people asking us, you know, what kind of bike should I get? My mom's letting me buy a bike, you know, when I finish a semester. And I'm in here, you know, they're like, I want to get a Hayabusa. And I'm like, that's not the way to do it. That's not how you get it done. You know, you got to go ahead and, you know, we talked through that. I bought my dream bike a month ago, the 09R1, loved it. And then within that next 5 days, we had 5 people tell us they went and bought an 09R1 because they liked mine. So we kind of stumbled into a position of influence and realized that we have an opportunity here to not only reach experienced riders who identify with our content, which is comedy, because they've all been there. Our biggest video is right under 1 million views, but it's about hitting your ignition switch and not being able to turn the bike on. If you ride a bike, you've done it, and you get pissed off, you think you broke it, your cylinder broke, something is not working, and then you realize it's just the damn button. And then we also have the new riders who identify, and they say, okay, it's not just me. And then we have the non-riders who ask, what in the hell are you talking about? I just thought the shit was funny. So along those lines, we've identified this need, and we are taking the comedy to gain the attention of the industry, of, you know, the new rider industry, people who aren't here yet, and kind of be able to identify some of the needs that you discussed previously. Is they trust us now, and we're growing. We grow like 1,000 a week over the last month and continue to do and grow and scale, and they're trusting us. They're believing in what we're saying. So we wanted in the industry to be able to lift up just the skill set as a whole, but also if we continue to gain trust, be able to be a spokesperson. One of our big goals is to partner and make a web series. Everyone here knows Keith Coates, Twist of the Wrist is the Bible. But even watching that video on YouTube, it's 12 years old. It looks like it was shot on a VHS tape, and it's not something that newer riders want to look at. We want to partner with the MSF course and start from the beginning of that and a beginner rider course all the way through taking the California Superbike School Advanced Racer classes, and not us teach people, but let the industry professionals teach us and illustrate that through a community that trusts us. We also are not bike snobs. We don't have a specific bike. While we do ride sport bikes, I want to get a Harley soon. I want to get a Grom soon. So if anyone here can hook that up, that would be great. but yeah, so our long-term goal is to be able to gain the trust of just our demographic. They look at us, they identify with us, and that is crazy. Having the ability to communicate with them in a way that they find familiar is awesome. And then be able to, again, lift it up and be a spokesperson for people and be the middleman, pretty much, in an industry that we're missing out on public figures, cool people, funny people. And the last point I'll make before I get kicked off is it's sad to say the biggest videos about motorcycling right now are either a crash video or a stunt ride video. So as a 20-year-old new rider, your mom told you not to do wheelies, you're not going to do that, and you damn sure don't want to crash. So, you know, having us be able to, you know, have the conversation with over thousands of comments in our vlogs about, or in our skits about, you know, it's okay to stall at a stop sign. It's fine. Just, you know, keep back to it. And you realize these other 1,000 people in the comments have done it at some point in their riding career. So having those conversations is something that we enjoy, and we're able to continue to grow and do that, and hoping to be able to, you know, partner with everyone here, hopefully at some point, and, you know, be able to have those conversations and just put your ideas into something that's stupid that people like to watch, which happens to be what we do today.
All right. That's cute. Impressive guy, like I said, met him a couple days ago, and the conversation we had just got me fired up all over again. about a new opportunity and a new attitude we can have. I want to introduce my friend from Austin, Texas, who just drove in a couple days ago, or over the past couple days, just drove in today. From Austin, Crystal Hess with Motorcycle Missions. Some of you guys have heard of Motorcycle Missions, and I want Crystal to talk about her program as a young female millennial type. I'll blow over this.
No,
that's about right. Not there.
Thank you. All right. So, like you said, I live in Austin, Texas. I came to Austin from Canada about 6 years ago. Never rode in my life. Circumstances that got me into riding were quite tragic and was actually a life-changing experience. And it's something I wouldn't change for the world. And I've been able to turn this tragedy into my passion for riding and building motorcycles. The building part, I've brought into a motorcycle build mentorship program that I use with my nonprofit Motorcycle Missions. And we do, we have veterans in a program and we teach them how to build a motorcycle from start to finish. And we have a welding program and we also do motocross riding camps with our program. So we started 2 years ago. We did our first build last year for Rot Rally. It was a 1980-something Softail. And we're now working on our third bike that Lincoln Electric is sponsoring for Handbuilt Show this April. So we're doing a lot in Austin, Texas to reach our veterans and get them riding. So that's kind of the segment that I've gone after, because riding for me is very therapeutic and building motorcycles for me is very therapeutic. And I decided one day that this can help, you know, if this can help me, it can help others. So I have a large veteran demographic in Texas just because of all the bases there. So I don't know what else to say about it other than it's kicking butt. I mean, we currently we're finishing a second build right now, and it's a 1970 shovel head that we were turning into. It was a chopper that a veteran donated to us. He broke his back and he wasn't able to ride anymore. And he donated this bike to us, and we've turned it into a board track bike. And we're going to be building a bike. It's a Triumph next. We're going to be building a sidecar with our veterans. So Lincoln Electric is sponsoring a welding program. We've been featured in Hot Bike, and we've been featured in American Iron. We've got another American Iron article coming out. We're going to be in Cycle Source, I think, next month. And we're also going to be in Motorcyclist Magazine next month. So we're getting a lot of attention for making a difference in our veteran community through motorcycling, getting them riding, getting them wrenching. It's a great way to get them their minds off their stress, off their problems, onto, you know, off their PTSD symptoms, and building a brotherhood with other veterans, plus, you know, learning new skills or honing ones that they already have. So it's been really exciting. We might be branching into Dallas from Austin now. We're starting actually on Saturday, another bike build on Saturday for a veteran. It's going to be a trike, which is going to be something we haven't done. And going to take it from there. So, yeah. Thank you. Oh, and I have a bunch of information that I brought, just booklets that have some information on our program. And it's sitting right there. There's cards with my email address and our website and everything like that. You can make donations on our website also too. Yeah, so all the money that we get for all donations we get go into our riding programs and our build program. So it buys parts, it buys the experience for the veterans so they can come. We offer it at no charge. So they come and they show up and they don't have to pay a dime. So that's it. I love you.
I've known Crystal for a few years in Austin, and she is absolutely one of the most inspirational people I've ever met. Not even a U.S. citizen.
I am.
She's dual, right? In case we get in a war with Canada, look for her. She's the spy. So anyway, so dual citizen, okay. That's new to me. But is really knocking it out of the park. And by the way, she's in school for more nursing. She was a nurse while she did that. She is a nurse and continues to do that. So this is a alpha female of a first order right here. So I want to thank all of our young speakers who we just had here. So we said in our Give a Shift report don't blame the millennials, right? We said that. And this is proof, this place, these people. And there's no, we said also in the report, there's no silver bullet. So there's a lot of good things. There's a lot of things that are industry opportunities, particularly with the product is great right now. Nobody can complain about how great the product is. But there is some conversation that needs to be had. And I want to give you just a quick background for those who don't quite know what Give a Shift is all about. So I thought when I threw this out on LinkedIn and Facebook that it would end up being about 10 of us, like 2 6 packs, a white sheet, and that'd be kind of it. And I threw it out on social, and all of a sudden there was a ton of people who wanted to have the conversation, and all of a sudden it blew up to 300 respondents on a survey, and the comments that were coming out of that were massive. And I thought, oh gosh, I'm gonna have to throw a little bit of a panel here, And then I had more people apply than I could possibly fit in the panel. And last weekend, I don't know, these numbers have probably changed, but last weekend, Charles Fleming of the LA Times told me that the story on gas was read 80,000 times. That's just the LA Times, mind you, because it was syndicated out. And with 74,000 unique visitors, and it was last weekend the biggest business story in the LA Times. So it can't be understated how important it was for Charles to not only report on what's going on, but to participate and elevate that. So he sat on the panel and has been very encouraging to this. So thank you, Charles. And I also want to call out our first panel. There was some folks who remain anonymous, but the ones who were willing to put their hands up and say they co-authored were Mark Cook, Kent Kunitsugu is here, Portia Taylor is here, Serge Gish, Sarah LaHolly, Sarah Schilke, Grady Pfeiffer is here, Jason Wickenkamp, Kevin Allen, Lee Misch, Jeff Herzog, Kristen Neuhauser, Steve Peel, Elisa Clickinger is here, Brian Clock, Eric Putter is here, Steve Squire couldn't be here, Monique Phillips, the mic master, whoop. Moira Zinn, and in particular I want to thank Kevin Duke and Glenn Hansen, who did a lot of heavy lifting on the edit for me when my eyes started to cross on that report, and my good friend Guido Ebert. There was 10 other applicants for the panel, awesome people committed to motorcycling, some are here, and I'm sorry I couldn't fit everybody in. We didn't have the time. We had 25 people. We planned 2 hours. We went 3 without a break. So clearly the conversation needs to be having. So Give a Shift going forward. This is the real reason that we're here. So we're not here to hate, but we're here to elevate. I was bummed that some in the industry didn't really get that right away. I probably didn't do a good job of stating our desires up front. The conversation sort of blew up with a lot of articles and forums and blogs bringing up the report and a lot of topics offering suggestions. And ultimately, that's the goal. That's the goal, is to have this conversation public and to energize motorcycle enthusiasts and therefore energize the industry some more. I can say proudly that Give a Shift worked, and I want it to work for all of us, and I want it to work for the industry to succeed. My degree is in art, which taught me via sort of a constant criticism by peers. We call them crits. It also taught me that a degree in art is pretty useless. Those of you who are in and around advertising understand crits. Those of you who attend a track day or an MSF course do as well. Basically, riding techniques delivered in a way to make you a better rider, right? Crits are what you want from mentors. You don't want useless cheerleading, and you don't want to just get beaten down. Constructive criticism through informed anonymity is our formula with Give a Shift, and I'll say that again just for clarity. Constructive criticism through informed anonymity is our formula. We want to elevate the game, and we want to be challenged to do so ourselves. What I felt rolling into this program was an acute need for our industry to be publicly self-critical in a time of relatively flat sales, new bike sales, I should say, since 2009. There's been some lackluster messaging to existing riders, and to me, the lack of a positive categorical message to non-riders. As much as we want to believe we are inclusive, I think we can do a much better job as an industry to steer a positive public narrative on motorcycling and encourage existing riders to do more and be advocates to draw more riders. I've been disappointed that the MIC members' conversation on this topic has not really been made public, but they are a member organization supported primarily by brand OEMs, and of course their members in some ways have a limited perspective or are limited by what they agree to put out publicly. They report on the trade, they have good relationships with Washington, D.C., but not everybody has access to that information. Likewise, I think our friends at the AMA could be hosting this conversation, but they're struggling with memberships, as was noticed. We need to get more members. It's a very scary and telling fact that AMA membership needs to grow. They are sort of our velvet glove in the industry is the way I see it. And that's we need to give them a little bit more leverage, but we are going to continue to challenge the AMA to push their thoughts, to change some perspective, and to consider some new ideas that maybe haven't been implemented that also don't require you to go to Ohio to learn about what they're doing. The Plus One program is pretty cool, and I encourage our leadership to consider joining us on future tough conversations as well. So to that end, and perhaps to the end of my career in power sports, I felt this conversation needs to remain both public and inclusive. It needed to have a wheels-on-the-ground perspective that is often ignored and never really understood by upper management. I think those of us who've been in the industry have had that struggle before. I'm a gut check marketer. I suck at metrics, and every boss I've ever had would back that up, probably with numbers and a chart. But what I know is that well over those 80,000 people who read Charles' first article, there was 5,800 plus viewings of the first report and nearly 3,000 downloads that I could see. And again, that doesn't count all the forwards within the company. So as small as this motorcycle industry is, I think we made that import the impact that we were looking for. I've gotten dozens of notes of support, including from people inside national organizations. Alta Motorcycles was the only OEM who reached out to me. So I want to thank them for paying attention and be willing to have the conversation. That said, in this room today, we have other OEMs and participants who are going to be reporting back to them. So I thank you guys all for being here and listening in and being part of this. It's been an engaging conversation that LinkedIn got in touch. It's been such an engaging conversation. LinkedIn actually got in touch with me because of the volume that's been having around this to understand it better. And I've been contacted by enthusiasts in Italy, Australia, the UK, and even weird oddball places like Washington, D.C. So, as you know, there's no silver bullet that'll save motorcycling. It's a hugely complicated world in transportainment, and there have been many valid tactics to positively augment existing efforts, as well as new ways that we have yet to realize. I thought the gas would be a one and done sort of thing, but we're going to continue our initiative with your help and support through 2018. I really thought it was just going to be kind of one thing. And we're going to keep going because people want to keep talking. So I need some help. My friend Glenn Hansen over here said I can't be a hot running single cylinder engine, but we need give a shift to be a smooth multi-cylinder engine to be effective. And by the way, my Tinder profile is now hot running single. Swipe right. We could all use a little more loving. So Give a Shift needs your help to divide and conquer. I'm looking for leaders to be part of Give a Shift. This is not the Robert Pandia Show. So to review, our five main topics for additional focus coming out of the report were to outline large-scale and individual tactics to increase motorcycling's desirability. Okay? Desirability. To outline the challenges and work on how we can be in the conversation more regarding autonomous vehicles. Three, to build an online advocacy guide that addresses many segments of ridership basically an ambassador's Bible for each category of riding. There's nowhere that that exists right now. And we in this room and the many who will be listening to this recording have an opportunity to help do that. A layman's guide to improving dealership experiences for new riders. We've heard this over and over again, that challenges are faced at dealerships, that dealerships have failed. There's many great dealerships out there, and I've got a bunch of good dealer friends. But no matter how good we are on the OEM side or on the industry side, ultimately the rubber meets the road at the dealership. So that's, we've got to step that up. And lastly, and I think the most compelling short-term opportunity, is to authentically engage more women to ride with us, which will result in more kids riding. We said in the report, if mom rides, the kids will ride. And I think that's not only a short-term thing, but that's a long-term solution as well. So with the help of Anik Magak, is a rider and a motivational speaker on the East Coast, Give a Shift will host an all-female roundtable in New York in the spring of 2018. We've developed a 10-question survey to start that conversation, and I would like to host a similar all-female roundtable on the West Coast. So I'm looking for a volunteer on this side. This report will be a massive job, and I'll be looking for assistance in hosting, recording, reporting, transcribing, distributing the content, just as we did in the first report, and as always, for free for anybody who can benefit from that. As a side note, I've worked on many female and new rider initiatives, including Femmoto and the Sister Centennial Ride in 2016. I know some of you guys, men and women, agree that I'm a little tired of the weak female ridership initiatives that are short-sighted, underfunded, lack creativity, lack vision, and frankly, you know, we need more female leadership out there to have that opportunity to elevate females into riding. I believe so much in the opportunities that when Elisa Klickinger over here, Elisa, where are you hiding? She brought ice, so that's one cool chick right there. So when Elisa suggested the Suffragette Centennial Motorcycle Ride in August of 2020, I committed to being a producer, a co-producer on that. That's 2.5 years from now. And that's enough time to do some cool promotions, social, historical articles, even build signature edition motorcycles, Honda, looking at you. We can do some really cool stuff with that much time that will fundamentally affect our opportunities, right? It's time for new female riders to be inspired, choose to learn, get some miles under, and hopefully have her family, her significant other, her spouse, her kids, friends join her in an epic trip out to DC. So that's something that that's one of many things that we can do, and we're going to be continuing to work on that through centennialride.com. So that's my plug for the night, but I need a ton of assistance in the four other areas we talked about: the increased desirability, autonomous integration, advocacy guides and websites for riders, and dealership experience projects. Okay, my goal is to have the content of these remaining panels completed and available before we get into new bike season, which is August of this year. Okay, so again, I want to get all this done. The major report was done, and all these panels with similar reportage done before August of this year. It's a lot of concurrent work. I can't do it alone. There's a huge audience who I believe will see contributions, contributors, and any facilitating sponsors of these reports to be the leaders of this industry. This room is full of talent, and I'm looking forward to the results of Give a Shift in 2018. I believe that our work, along with that of OEMs, the AMA, the MIC, aftermarket companies, and many other organizations, can help elevate motorcycling, spur new sales, and shift the general narrative of motorcycling. So if you're a leader and you get what I'm asking for, please let me know. If you want to assist in other ways or be on a panel, thank you. But what I need right now is panel leaders that have a background in those four areas. And for those of you who want to facilitate these panels and step up to help Give a Shift, the rest of us will all follow that leadership. Plenty in the industry will follow that leadership. Plenty want to talk, but only a few really want to help on the report. So, on to the second big opportunity for us, and that's to get on the same page to promote the category of motorcycling, to promote the fun, camaraderie, adventure, control, and amazing rewards of motorcycling that we all take for granted sometimes. For all of motorcycling, scootering, roadsters like the Slingshot and the Vanderhall, we need one slogan. What's the one slogan for motorcycling? What's the got milk for motorcycling? We need one call to action that we can all lean on, that's inclusive, that can be tweaked to fit a Ducati track day as much as it can be tweaked to fit a Royal Enfield or a Motus or a Can-Am, right? I'm asking all of you here and on social media to encourage all the OEMs, all the hotshot advertising guys and the PR agencies, and the massive aftermarket distribution groups, trade publications, dealer news, Power Sports Business, Motorcycle Power Sports News, insurance companies, AIM, IMS, to get together, and we need to develop our own got milk. A brand neutral version of something like the Kawasaki's classic, Let the Good Times Roll. As I think about motorcycling, it doesn't matter what model bike you're on, it doesn't matter what year bike you're on, it doesn't matter what it looks like in silhouette, there's got to be three fundamental things that make you want to ride a motorcycle. And then at that point, it starts to divide out into the other categories. And if, as an industry, we can help define what that is, and then everybody works off of that playbook, then we can fundamentally affect motorcycling in a positive way to that tiny fringe. If 20% of existing licensed motorcyclists were to bring a new rider in per year, we wouldn't be nearly as stressed as we are right now. And that would keep us going. But we don't know how to have that conversation yet. So Jordan pointed that out. Crystal's doing amazing stuff. AMA's doing stuff. Everybody's doing stuff. But what is that across the board thing? And that's what I'm looking for. I'm suggesting something along the lines of, you know, get out. Just a simple statement, get out. Within the context of motorcycling, what does that look like? Within the context of a brand, what does that look like? Okay? So, if there's any ad people in here rolling your eyes, it's, you know, time for you to step up your game, hotshots, right? No, lead the way. Show us the skills and help rally all of us in the industry behind a single inspiring message that engages existing and new riders and becomes our industry mantra. We need it badly. And I'll be damned if the motorcycle community is not the most passionate, committed, and engaged community out there. There is no single group of enthusiasts who come together more consistently for a good cause than motorcyclists, and I challenge our industry to do the exact same thing for the good of all of us. Let's encourage this action to elevate motorcycling as a category, to show the industry what you can do to bring new riders into the fray. Let's commit to a time to do this in a great place with awesome riding. Somebody in this audience gets it. Might know a location for the meeting, someplace neutral, central, good motorcycle parking. You know, I'm thinking Durango in the fall. Sounds pretty good to me. So great riding will facilitate great ideas. So this is an important project that needs some leadership and for everyone to feel welcome to the conversation. It's going to seem easy for an OEM or a major brand to ignore this sort of thing. But it's up to us to push them to participate and to be at that table. So today I'm also announcing the launch of it's a simple website designed to aggregate all the Give a Shift stuff in one place, all the documents and, you know, blogs and whatever sort of rant comes out of that. It's a place for anonymous and equal voices to constructively criticize motorcycling to help us all be better. Just like the reports and the roundtables are intended to be, this is a free content that will lean on further informed anonymity and hopefully continue to inspire us to take action, not just bitch about stuff. So that website is motogiveashift.com. Give a Shift is a transmission shop somewhere in Poughkeepsie. This is going to be the place to sign up for a mailing list, to download reports, see links that reflect on the reports, stories, ideas, stay connected with the program. And I'll continue to keep this conversation going, particularly on LinkedIn and on Facebook, although my mom's getting a little tired of it, I gotta admit. So in summary, I could use some committed help in the remaining Give a Shift roundtables. I'd like to encourage the industry to work together to develop that categorical campaign that we can all lean on. And MotoGiveAShift.com will be our hub of activity and communications in this project. And four, an art degree is exactly what I'll need to lean on my next career and help me decorate my Home Depot apron. I want to thank every one of you guys for attending this little soiree here. And I hope tonight that that you take the time to meet somebody new. On the list, as I was looking through the list, I mean, there's a lot of you folks that I've met individually through different ways, through Sisters Ride, through industry work, through that sort of thing. And there's some strangers in this room. And I would say that we keep talking to ourselves a lot. And we need to take the time to actually listen to some of those new voices. And not those new voices that just because, you know, it's a token measure, but to actually listen and understand what's happening. And understand, engage that perspective. I hope tonight that when you meet somebody new, you feel emboldened to talk about a new idea or inspired to be part of the Give a Shift in some way and choose to lean in, not lean away from the significant challenges in our industry. I'm humbled that you would attend, and I'm waiting to be impressed by the manufacturers, the motorcycle aftermarket, our industry leadership, And most of all, I'm excited to be impressed by you guys. And I know that we're all excited to also be impressed by everybody else. Now, Kent, did you want to say a few things? Okay. All right. That's fine. Just so awesome. You're the man. So I was trying to figure out, like, how to close this thing without just ending on a lame, like, thank you. So I'm going to give myself my own four-minute cue. And a little while ago, I wrote a story that ended up in Motorcyclist magazine. I tried to find a way to express what motorcycles mean to me despite the risk, to express the rewards of riding. It was one of the most flowing sort of thoughts I ever had, and I do reflect on it from time to time. So if you guys will permit me on the last page here. I finished that particular story with the following. I'm transfixed by motorcycles. It's not in the genes. It's not from living next to a bike shop when I was a kid. I don't know why, but they're part of my soul. They're a part of my oxygen. The complications of this passion are many. I've been hurt, and I've come close to making a big mistake or two on the road myself. So many friends share this passion. They share the rewards, the risk, and sometimes they get hurt. Usually, they do not. It's the rewards of riding that are so much harder to share than the pain. The words just do not seem meaningful, like when you really love someone so deeply that the thought of expressing it cramps your chest and dries your throat. Words describing the ride only scrape the surface of true meaning. The depth of the riding experience is lost in translation when it's applied to paper. Riding is absorbing solitary moments and camaraderie at the same time, using all five senses and touching on a sixth. We each have our own experience and somehow draw from the same well of emotions, stress, fears, and satisfaction. We share the passion. We share the language. Words can't describe it, but riding can. Thank you guys for being here.